How many were here? Oh, I'll tell you what. First things first, let's play the Pledge of Allegiance. If y'all would stand. This is something that God's got me locked in on, and Brian got on me a few weeks ago for not remembering to do it. And so we're going to say that everybody, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You know, this is, God put this nation and this government together. And He reminded me a while back, He said, when you're praying for this nation, do not bash the government. Now, for those that haven't heard me say this, we don't bash the government because God designed and created a government that has been implemented over the United States of America. The church and its and the people of this country, in our selfishness and lack of self-discipline, have allowed perverted, demonic influence in our government. It's there. And for those that's visiting, I get a little bit rash about this. I don't mind saying it, you know, because that's the way it is. And it's the church's fault. It was our responsibility. Kids, he told me, I thought they were staying. Oh, okay, youth are staying. I'm sorry, children's church. A big round of applause for children's church. Sorry, Morgan, I thought everybody was staying. Pray for the teachers, too. A round of applause for the teachers, too. Yeah, thank you. So, where was I, Sharon? The church. Guys, the Lord's really showed me, we've not been good stewards over His government. And so we've allowed people to be in positions of authority and leadership that should have never been there, should not be there now. And as we repent and humble ourselves before the Lord, He is going to be sure that they're removed. There's going to be an awakening. There is an awakening taking place in this nation. I don't know, did Alan and Debbie share the story about the church this morning up north? Where was it, Kathy?
Massachusetts.
Was it a Methodist?
Massachusetts.
There was a church in Massachusetts, y'all, that celebrated. Yeah, I don't like to even use the word right now, but that this month that all of the... I don't even want to go there with their name because I don't even like to mention it. You know, I mean, they got a problem and they're demonically influenced. But anyway, this church celebrated the Pride Month and fire fell and consumed the church. Yes, applaud that, you know. I mean, I believe we're in a time that we're going to begin to see, and we as believers need to really pay attention to where we're going, instructions of the Lord, because I believe we're going to see things like that begin to take place more and more. People are not going to no longer spit on the Lord and be able to. And so how many were here a few weeks ago when I shared about Harriet Tubman and the prayer she prayed? Okay, for those of you that weren't, I'm going to give you a little quick deal because I'm going to read another story. I have a book called 100 Bible Verses That Made America, and I'm almost finished, and I'm just about there, but it just gets so good because it's very encouraging to me because it's how God had His hand on this nation. This isn't what I'm preaching about, okay? But this is what God had His hand on this nation. He put this nation together. So I like to get, He's had, got me given a little history deal every when I start my services before I preach. But Harriet Tubman, do y'all, how many know who she was? You know who she was? She was a slave, and she was tortured and beat. And I'm just going to give you the quick start to her version. She rescued a lot of slaves. She did the Underground Railroad. But she was being tremendously abused by her master, her owner, and she was praying for him. She went to praying for him, Lord, change his heart and save him. And she went to praying for him, and she prayed for a few months, and he didn't get saved. He ain't changed none. And she said, Lord, if you're not going to change his heart, kill him. And she's in the story, this is in the book, and in a few weeks, she said, I look up and old master's dead. Now, a lot of the church today, especially the one in Massachusetts, they might change their mind this morning. But they would say, well, you can't pray like that. Well, let me read you. I want to read you something else. Guys, we have to. Our faith must be aggressive. We're not asking God to take him out. We're asking for him to avenge the blood of Christ on this earth right now. He's going to have his way, and this nation was one nation under God. It's been one nation under God. It's still one nation under God. It was put together by God, and it's going to be maintained by God. And we can be a good part of it, or we could be some of that that gets caught up in the fire. It's totally up to us. It's our choice. It's just like tithing and giving. We can choose to walk under the blessing or walk under the curse. This is a letter to Almighty God. I really wanted to read a story about FDR and praying during D-Day, but when AJ and Cleve, I don't know, something they said this morning, and then Alan and Debbie, and I'm like, I got to read this other story, Howdy. This is just, it's called A Letter to Almighty God, October the 8th, 1934. God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. The circuit-riding evangelist of the 1800s gave way to the itinerant evangelist of the 1900s who crisscrossed America holding evangelistic campaigns in churches, tents, and tabernacles in every corner of the nation. Most were absolutely sincere. There were a few shysters, and some were, well, like Mordecai Ham. Any of y'all heard of him? A unique individual who didn't mind meddling in local affairs and calling out sinners. Hundreds of thousands were converted to Christ under Ham's ministry, but not without controversy. When Ham and his director of music, William Ramsey, came to Charlotte, North Carolina in the fall of 1934, he tore into the sinfulness of the city and was heavily criticized by pastors, newspapers, and local politicians. Kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? His meetings didn't start well. On October 8th, discouraged, Ham sat down and wrote a prayer to Almighty God on the stationery in his hotel room, and he prayed as bluntly as he preached. Dear Father, thou knowest the conduct of all in this town, how the Antichrist has made his power felt, how the ministers have opposed, Father. Please, for thy name's sake and thy son's sake, begin to deal with these, the scoffers and the enemies. Father, only a miracle will crush them. Deal with the Baptists, my own brotherhood, the Methodists and their leaders. Dear Father, may this week be a series of warnings and crushing blows. Deal with the newspapers, oh Lord. You know how the testimony of Jesus has been opposed in this city. Deal with the city council and with all that would try to drive us out of this city. Oh dear Lord, come on thy servant and make his message as a burning fire. Lord, give us a Pentecost here and deal a blow to that infidel Saunders. Oh Lord, please make this great meeting the greatest meeting we have ever witnessed. Pour out thy spirit tomorrow. Dear Lord, may this city be made to tremble. Dear Lord, give me wisdom to plan a work and enlist 10,000 souls. Send angels now, make this city a stronghold of holy angels, and begin to make examples of some from hell. Bring the enemies to where they will publicly confess and apologize to you. Oh, Father, in Jesus' name and for his glory, do wonders. I am in thy hands, ready for thy glorious rebuke to the city conference. Oh, Lord, I need your endorsement and show this city that you are with me. In his name, signed, M.F. Ham. That's a pretty powerful kind of prayer. You know, he didn't ask him to kill none of them like Harriet Tubman did. But he asked him for God to open their eyes in a little more blunt manner than what we tend to pray sometimes. We're to pray for their salvation. Let me finish reading. The meetings were held in a temporary tabernacle built on Pecan Avenue. One local teenager decided not to attend. His name was Billy Graham. But the sensational nature of meetings, coupled with an appeal from his neighbor, Albert McMakin, who offered to let Graham drive his truck to the campaign, persuaded him to attend. During the sermon that night, the Holy Spirit spoke to Graham, and he began attending the meetings night after night. He became so convicted, he joined the choir to sit behind the evangelist and away from his pointing finger. That's just, you know, he was being dealt with. But one night, Ham ended his sermon by stressing Romans 5:8, how God demonstrated his love for us and how Christ died for us. When the invitation was given, Graham responded, coming forward to receive Christ as his Savior. Mordecai Ham lived long enough to see Graham become the best known evangelist in the world. Graham became America's pastor, the friend of presidents from Truman to Trump, a powerful preacher who spoke with authority, punctuating his sermons with "the Bible says." Billy Graham preached the gospel to more people in live audience than anyone else in history. Nearly 215 million people in more than 185 countries and territories, and his autobiography, Just As I Am, is a gripping and grace-filled account of his remarkable life and ministry. The Lord read Mordecai Ham's letter and answered his prayer, as he so often does, exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine. We got to be aggressive. Amen. We got to take our stand, and on behalf of our nation, our children, our churches, you know, if it's up to us, we can continue to have it, or we can lose it if we don't do what God's instructed us to do. His will and his desires are going to take place, but I want to be a part of helping them take place. And I think everybody in here does. And so I just, to me, though, that's so encouraging, because when we ask God, when we ask according to the word of God, our prayers are answered. And God's answers are yes and amen. And I'm telling you what, things are happening. You know, it's going to be so exciting. You know, I'm praying for their salvation, for people, you know, the lost. I don't know all their names, but we pray for the lost. And as we do, we're bringing them before the throne room. Some of them, they're going to be like Harriet Tubman's master. They're not going to give in, and they're going to be taken out. That's not our responsibility. It's not our responsibility to choose who gets taken out and who gets to stay. But we're to pray for their salvation, and we're to pray that the fall of God, the fire of God, fall and consume and cleanse our government. You know, what's going on in our nation, in our schools, that the eyes of people's understanding truly be opened to the truth. And then those that won't yield, they might be like that church in Massachusetts, and they had pictures, it burned up, it consumed the temple or the whatever. It was pretty amazing, but I'm excited and I'm encouraged about what God's doing. But it's not without faith. Let's turn to James chapter 1. Y'all sure did get quiet. We're not celebrating any of that stuff. I'm pretty confident the fire's not fixing to consume us right here. Okay, I'm going to give you a few other scriptures, but I want you all to turn to James 1. In Ephesians 5:1, it tells us to be imitators of God. Just this week, it was earlier in the week, very early in the week. The Lord just really took me to James. I've been reading James off and on and going back through and reading it and reading it. And sometimes we forget that faith without works is dead. And it's all about faith, you know. God's a faith God. You know, we had to believe in Jesus to get saved. But here in James, I want to share a little bit of in my study Bible. I want to share some things that we all know, but the Lord said He was reminding me, so I'm going to remind y'all. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to remind you this morning. He was reminding me, and yes, it was because of either a bad decision or I call it spitting a bit sometimes and running off. It's like, you know what? I'm tired of this right here. And the Lord said, can't get tired of it. You're in here for the duration. You're part of the family. And you got to fill your spot in the family, and you got to be who I called you to be, because you're going to help Hattie fill his spot, and you're going to help Roger, all the Rogers in here, fill their spot. We got a lot of Rogers. We're going to help one another as we fill our spot, as we be who we are called to be. But just in my, you know, Ephesians 5:1, we're to be imitators of God as dear children. Y'all know how little kids imitate their parents. We need to get so engrossed in the Word of God that we're just imitating it. We until people are saying, man, they're just acting like Jesus. We should be acting like Jesus. If they're not recognizing that, we're probably not where we should be in our walk with the Lord. Or we're being negligent. And I've been negligent, and a lot, there's just days I get negligent in several areas. And Kathy lets me know, Sharon, you know, and it's not happy with me sometimes. And Jackie told me that a happy wife is a happy life. So you need to, men, we need to keep happy wives. So we have happy lives. Let me just, I want to share some things. This was talking in my study, but I was talking about how to study James. And it's just some simple little deals. But, you know, people, and we all know this because we each one do it. People can confess anything, but in the end, their actions show what they really believe. And I got to thinking about that, you know, and so as I'm going to apply this, it says, nowhere is this truer than in the arena of faith. Claims of belief are meaningless if actions don't stand behind our words of love for God. This is the primary theme throughout the whole book of James. James was dealing with a bunch of people that were saying one thing and not doing what they said that they believed. And we don't want to be that way in the church. You know, Corey's been, you know, it's that quality decision, that walking by faith, that making up our mind that no, the word's true and I'm going to be a doer of the word. And I'll be happy in those things I do because I am a doer of the word of God. This letter consists of practical advice for Christian living. Let me see. The love of God, to love God is to obey Him, as Jesus Himself said, a tree is known by its fruit. And so when I first think of these things, you know, walking by faith, well, I'm thinking about, well, you know, I'm declare that I believe that God's my healer and God meets my needs and I'm a giver and, you know, and I'm starting to eat right and I'm starting to pay attention to, you know, how I treat myself and my body. You know, and it's because that's action. That's an action. That's taking an action to line up with what I say I believe. And God gives us instructions in His book on how to handle all that. And He said, well, this is me. I mean, He's showing me. He said, that's a big part of it. But He said, your relationships, how you respond to other people demonstrates what you believe too. And He could have not gone there. You know, because we all know that He's like, if you can believe, you're telling me that you believe I meet your needs and I'm going to do this and this. So when somebody does something to you that gets under your skin, ruffles your feathers, irritates you, thinks that we need, causes me to think I need to take an action to help straighten them out. And the Lord said, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And I'm like, no, but makes me feel better for a little bit. See, it's okay to have these conversations with the Lord because when we get down there, God's going to put His supernatural on our natural. And when we say, I'm gonna bow my knees to the Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I'm going to bow my knees to His instructions. I'm going to make the decision to be willing and obedient to obey the Word of God. That I'm going to love that person. And sometimes it takes practicing the ministry of silence. Sometimes it takes the practicing the ministry of repentance. This is a little different form, okay? They're coming at you with this stuff and the enemy, he is telling you, you don't have to take that. No, sir, I don't. I think I'll leave. Instead of saying something out of my mouth that I can't take back, then once it's spoken, it's there. Those words are out there and they're affecting someone some way, but they're affecting us worse because we just planted a seed that's not of God. And we're saying, I walk by faith. I love God, but I'm allowing my wrath to produce not God's righteousness. And when I'm, and he's saying like so. So that's, I mean, we all know, we all go through that. I mean, the world we live in today, it's a very challenge to get through a day and not have one, at least one experience to where you've, someone has irritated. Don't watch the news. Don't listen to some, I'll try to avoid saying anything about them, Howdy. I'll just. Sometimes we gotta plug our ears up. We gotta turn around and walk off. We gotta say, "Get thee behind me, Satan! For it is written that man shall not live by bread, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." I gotta make up my mind that the word of God is life and health and healing to all my flesh. I gotta be fully persuaded that what God's promised, He's able to perform. He can deal with them. I don't have to deal with those that are trying to bring agony, disruption. And remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places. So, we need to exercise that authority over them realms of influence we're in and over the heavenlies in the area that we live in. We need to bind the principalities and powers that Jesus made a public spectacle of, triumphed over, and disarmed. We need to enforce their disarmament. We do that by faith, by speaking words out of our mouth, and then keeping our words and vocabulary in line with what we just prayed. That's walking by faith. That's rolling it over on the Lord. Let Him cause our thoughts to be agreeable with His will. So those plans that He has established for us are accomplished and do succeed. Y'all, these are scriptures that are coming to mind. I don't remember where every one of them's at, but it's the word, and I'll go back and look every one of them up for you if you need me to. I have them wrote down, but not in the notes. I'm just going with what the Lord would have us to go with right now. We have to. You all still in James? Maybe I can get out of the introduction part. Our claims of walking by faith are meaningless if we don't stand behind our words of love for God. The love of God is to obey Him. Matthew 12:33. Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit, what it's producing. Every now and then I think we gotta stop and say, What am I producing? What the people, you know, I think probably a good judge of it is our area of influence. What are the people around me? You know, if we're being who God called us to be, there'll be some adjustments in their life. Now, they'll either be totally ticked off at you and bash you all the time, or some of them will just shut up and like, man, I'm... and some of them will come to you and say, they'll begin to ask questions. They'll begin, you know, there are going to be different responses, but I think that we can see what's happening around us and judge whether we're walking out who we say we are or whether we're not. If we're walking by faith or we're walking by presumptuousness or walking by foolishness. And if we're going to walk by faith, we got to be doers of the Word of God, not hearers only. We got to make our mind up. James 1 and 2, it says, here we go. Count it all joy. This is hard to do. Okay. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Those trials, it's not always a health or financial issue. It's a lot of times it's relationship, work related. It's just trials. They're just there. They're going to be there for each and every one of us. We're going to encounter them day by day. We live in a natural world. What we got to do is put God's supernatural on the natural. The Word of God, the supernatural Jesus. We put it on the natural. We speak it over the natural and allow the supernatural power of God to intervene and influence on our behalf. That's rolling our works over on the Lord. That's giving it to Him and not taking it back. That's making our mind up, making that decision that I am going to walk by the Word of God. As much as I want to respond, Mike McCloskey, as much as I want to respond to an ignorant politician that ain't got sense enough to pour pee out of a boot, I've got to learn to keep my mouth shut. We got a ton of them out there that are that way. They don't even know to just turn it up. But some of them do know, and they're so demonically influenced that they're just perverted. And so I'm praying that the eyes of their understanding be open. But I'm also praying, as Harriet Tubman did. Now, I'm not asking God to kill them. But I am saying, Lord, if they're not going to change, please take them out. Cause, you know, it tells us in Psalms, it's one of the Psalms, I'll have to look it up, but the wicked are beginning to destroy one another. They're so confused. I'm playing it. They just constantly be so confused. They can't, you know, they already don't know come here from Sikkim anyway, but it's just the fact that I want them to be so confused that they look at one another and they just turn on one another. And they just take one another out. It's happening. They could start with that guy out there in California. That government. That's also, you know, he's Nancy Pelosi's son-in-law. That'd be a good place for him to start. He could be one of the first ones that really needs to be taken out. And I don't care how God does. It gives me chills, but I think he'll come down pretty quick. He's doing some pretty rash things, spitting in the face of God. And I believe the fire will fall and they will begin to consume people like that. I want to be watching. I don't want to be right there close to the fire. 1,000 will fall at our side and 10,000 at our right hand, but it shall not come near us. You know, he told us in 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, he said, I desire above all things that you pray for all man kings and all who in authority so that you can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. I'm being diligent to pray for all men, kings and all who are in authority. I miss a day here and there, but I don't miss many. And I remind the Lord, you said, if I do this, I will lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It's going to be all around me, but it's not going to touch me and my family. And I pray that over all of y'all, because we're all partners in the family of Christ. And I pray, and so we need to remind God. God, you said, if I'd pray for all men, kings and all who are in authority, I'm going to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It may come near me, but it ain't touching me. 1,000 will fall at my side and 10,000 my right hand, and we each one need to be claiming that and standing on it every day. For the angels of God are encamped around about us. And this is way off, everything's way off what I was going to, I'll get there. Count it all joy. How many of you just, that's just, I mean, think about that. You know, don't just read that word. Say, count it all joy. Oh, Lord, thank you for this trial. No, I don't have to thank him for the trial, but I got to thank him that I need to thank him for what it's producing in me by going through that. Go to Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 4. Hold your place there in James, but let's turn over to Romans chapter 4. Chapter 5, verse 1. Let's read this right quick. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we are justified when we walk by faith. When we be a doer of the word, when our actions correspond with what we say we believe, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. No greater peace than to have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now listen, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, those tests and trials, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. When we walk by faith, we produce those things right there. When we decide to be an imitator of God, what we do is we've made that quality decision that as much as my flesh, as much as I'm wanting to drop the hammer on someone, or, you know, it's like those say, you are professing to be an imitator of me. That's not how I do it. And sometimes we need to sit on our hands. We need to maybe get some duct tape for our mouth. We need to make, as Corey said, the quality decision, make up our mind that I'm going to walk by faith. I'm going to walk and be a doer of the Word of God, not a hearer only. And when we do, the angels of heaven intervene on our behalf. We have all got angels around us. Some people say there's two assigned to each person. I don't know. Ronnie Christian might can tell us, because he really studies on the angels still. But we need to understand that. And Kathy and I were visiting with a lady yesterday that they'd been doing some work for us. And I'm not going into that story, but they were really good at what they did. But the lady got saved. She was talking about when she got saved, she had a gamut. They come out here from Vegas. And she said, was from an addictive family anyway. She said, I never got addicted to drugs or alcohol or anything like that, but she said, I got addicted to that gambling. And she said, when I got saved, she's talking about how God delivered her. And she said, you know, somebody shared with me one day, Jesus is in you now, and he goes everywhere you go. And she said, he immediately gave me a picture that he had won't be sitting at a slot machine. And she said, I really didn't play the slots, I played the video poker. But she said, I got a picture of that. And he was like, it's like, Jesus don't want, okay, I got no problem with that, I won't go there in the morning. She said, he delivered me instantly. But she's got that inner image of Jesus living in her. We got to, in our, if we're going to be imitators of God, we got to cultivate that image of Christ in us, that he goes everywhere we go. He's hearing everything we say. He's seeing everything we do. And we're, you know, sometimes it's like, Lord, would you turn around and look the other way for a minute? We don't get to do that, Rod. We may do it, but he's like, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. He said, you've got to be willing and obedient to be a doer of my word, not a hearer only. He said, as you do, as we begin to start where we're at, don't get under any condemnation. Don't let the devil put you under any condemnation of an area that you're having an issue with. Just begin to work on it. Take it 1 minute at a time. I remember when we were in Mason, I don't even remember the couple's name, but there was a couple that came to that church to preach for us. And do you remember that man, lady? That they came from down in the Houston area. I don't know who introduced us to them. I don't have a clue, but I could still, that lady got to sharing with us. She'd suffered from some sort of, she had a physical issue. And God impressed upon her and to believe for her healing. And she said, I had to say it. And she said, I said it over and over and over. Whatever God gave her to say, she took it from there. And she said, I said it. I quoted it. And I'd start quoting it. And she said, after a certain period of time, she'd get a little relief. And she said, the relief might last for 5 minutes and then come back. And she'd start quoting. And she said, I said it over and over. Out loud to herself, she said, I just kept it going. Until it went from relief from 5 minutes to 10 minutes to 10 minutes to 15 minutes. And she said it began to increase until God totally delivered her from it. She said, the word, he gave me the word to speak. She was willing and obedient. And you know, it's the word of God that's life and health and healing to all our flesh. We look at the word and we see the written word, but we got to remember Jesus is the living word. In the beginning was the word, and word was became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus, if we'll be imitators of him, if we'll say that I'm not just going to declare I walk by faith, I'm going to be a doer of the word of God, not a hearer only. I'm going to make up my mind that I'm going to operate every area of my life according to the word of God. Trials, opportunities for rejoicing, knowing that they're tools we use to refine, purify our faith, and develop patience and endurance. We got several more pages to get through. We're not going to make that. Romans 4:9-21 talks about not being weak in faith, y'all have heard me say that over and over, being fully persuaded. Let patience have its perfect work. Standing fast under pressure with a strong power that turns adversities into opportunities. When we, instead of seeing the trials and temptations as adversities, we see them as opportunities to develop our faith, to be the overcomer by the word of our testimony, the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony that God created us to be. We just make the quality decision. I'm going to stand on this. Having done all to stand therefore. The word of God is our shield and buckler. I want to really stress this. Please don't get under condemnation when we mess up. We're all going to mess up. It's just going to happen. Sometimes we walk out from under the supernatural and we're just operating in the natural. So all we got to do is say, oh, wait a minute here. I'm out from under. I need the supernatural back on my natural. I'm going to do all I can do and God's going to put his supernatural. You've been forgiven past, present, and future. You've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. Every one of us, we've been cleansed from all unrighteousness. As long as we're faithful and just, confess our sins, God's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, deliver us, put us back on the right track. Don't let the enemy put you under condemnation in any form or fashion, say, well, you're not worthy. Yes, I am. I messed up, but I'm worthy because of the blood of Christ. It covers me, and I am worthy because of that right there. I don't care how bad we mess up. Believe me, Kathy can give you some illustrations. She can tell you about it. But I have, over the years, used to, I'd run, when I'd mess up like that, I'd get out there, howdy, and you know, for days I'd waller, you know, I'd just feel guilty, and the devil would tell you, well, you can't do this and that. Yes, I can. I'm cleansed from all unrighteousness. Well, look what you did. Don't matter. Jesus has forgiven me and cleansed me from all unrighteousness. And as long as I say, it's just, he just puts his arms around us and he takes us back and he said, stay in faith. Stay strong. Be strong in the Lord. Yeah, you messed up. So what? Peter messed up a bunch. There was a lot of them apostles messed up a bunch. You know, I'm a Peter kind of guy. Sometimes I say a lot of things before I speak. Think about it. And then you're like, oh, geez. I wish I could take that back. But, you know, God said, you know, can you just picture God sometimes like, oh, son, why'd you say that? Why'd you do that? I'm going to fix it, but you got to work on this a little hard. You know, I think God has a great sense of humor, and I mean no disrespect. I'm not bringing God down to our level whatsoever. But I'm just saying, he loves us so much that God gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. And when we receive that everlasting life, we're forgiven, cleansed, and put on the right track with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that you've never asked for that forgiveness and been put, and I want you to know you have an eternal destiny that God created for you before the foundations of the world, before he even formed you in your mother's womb. And we're going to pray a prayer with you. If you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life and you've never done it, we're all going to pray. And I'm asking you to pray that prayer. Make Jesus the Lord of your life. He'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You'll be born again and brought back into your right relationship with your Heavenly Father. So if that's you, we're all going to pray a prayer. So please, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's all pray this prayer. Father God, thank you today for Jesus, who came and died for me, rose again on the third day, defeated death, hell, and the grave. I believe it, Father. I believe Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, that you died for me, Lord Jesus, and Father God, that you raised him from the dead. So I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is now my Lord and Savior. Please come in, Lord. Cleanse me. Wash me. Help me fulfill the destiny you created for me before the foundations of the world. I give you my life, and I'm yours in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if today that was your day to make Jesus the Lord of your life, I'm going to count to three. I just want to raise your hand when I do, and they're going to give you a Bible. We won't embarrass you. But if today was your day, when I say three, y'all raise your hand. One, two, three. Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. Guys, I thank y'all so much for today. I forget to tell you sometimes, but y'all just pull it out of whoever's up here. Y'all are just so hungry, and you love the Lord, and don't let that light be put under a bushel. You know, continue to let your light shine before men, because even when you think, oh gosh, they never heard me. Yeah, they did. Because when we speak those words, those angels, God, if we speak the word, God's word never returns void. And so be the light that you're supposed to be, and by faith, just say, I will not waver. I am a believer, and I'm walking by faith in the name of Jesus. Thank you, guys. Howdy.